This is the crucial place where your own faith in God's ability to grip your child in His own strong hands will be tested to the limit.
God calls us to wholeheartedly live for Him, to love people in the way that is truly centered on others. As we read 1 Corinthians 13, it's a love that bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Ladies, today on Gateway to Joy, Elizabeth Elliott shares another lesson in following the Master, the one who came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give His life as a ransom for many. Here's Elizabeth Elliott.
Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. This is your friend Elizabeth Elliott talking with you again today about becoming an adult. I've been doing a series on teenagers, those wonderful, mysterious, beloved, and sometimes infuriating young people who are in the process of becoming adults. We'd like to hurry them up or slow them down, and they are moving at their pace and God's pace, not your pace. Remember, for one thing, that your child may be anxious to discover who he is. He's being told from all sides, we've got to discover who we are. Well, I'm with Goethe. You know what the great German philosopher said, only God knows who I am, and may God preserve me from ever finding out. So I would sort of try to put your teenager's fears to rest, that he doesn't really need to concentrate on discovering who he is. The best way to discover who we are is to find out who God is, to learn to know God. Do you know who your child is? Can either you or he really know who this child is? In which of his changing moods is he most himself? If he thinks at 10 o'clock in the morning that he has now discovered who he is, will it be the same at 11 o'clock? Only God knows, and I do believe that God will reveal to each of us and to your loved child as much as God knows that we need to know. He will reveal it, I mean, as we learn to walk and talk with Him, which means, quite simply, to obey Him. It's as we walk in obedience. There are many things in the Bible which cannot be understood by intellect. They are learned by obedience. Jesus said, "He that willeth to do His will shall know." Now, one of the phrases that I hear bandied about is, we've got to love our children just the way they are. Now, that's true. That's the only way I can love him at this particular moment. But do we love them so little as to desire no change? Do you understand what I'm saying? We're so used to hearing this phrase, unconditional love, or you gotta love them just the way they are, that maybe we've completely forgotten or never even thought about the fact that love desires change. God loves us, and He loved us while we were yet sinners, and He loves us just the way we are. But His love is a refining fire. Our God Himself is a consuming fire. What does fire do? It purifies. It doesn't annihilate. It purifies. And God is in the business of changing us, of purifying us. He loves us far too much to leave us just the way we are. Love desires change. Love desires the perfection of the beloved. And you husbands, did you know that you are commanded in Ephesians 5 to love your wives as Christ loved the church? Which means to lay down your life for them and to make them holy. I wonder how many men listening to me have ever seriously pondered the enormous responsibility laid on you by God that you are to make your wife holy. That means you love her just the way she is today, but you love her enough to lay down your life for her, to intercede for her, to sacrifice for her. Parents who love their children know that love always means sacrifice. In The Loveliest Child, there's something less lovely than God, less lovely than what God aims to make of that child, some change which will make her more herself. You know, there are really two selves, and we could talk for many weeks on that subject. There is the old self and the new self, and Paul says we are to put away the old self. So we talk so much about getting to know ourselves and express ourselves and actualize ourselves and realize ourselves with practically no understanding of the fact that there are two selves. Which one are we talking about here? The true self is the self that God knows and the self that God aims to conform us to. George MacDonald says, "No one who does not love perfection will ever keep constant in loving." Shall I read that again? "No one who does not love perfection will ever keep constant in loving." As you travail in birth for your child, so Christ's heart yearns for you. And did you know that Paul uses that maternal imagery in speaking of the Galatian Christians? He says, "I travail in birth for you." You mothers, you know what that means. You fathers will never go through that physically. But if you've ever been with your wife as she was travailing in birth, you have some inkling of how Christ's heart travails for us, yearns for us. You suffer with Christ for your child's salvation. You are a cooperator with him. It's full salvation that God wants to bring about in that child. Every one of us is to reach the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Sometimes we very thoughtlessly use this word saved. Well, I'm saved. I've heard people say, "I'm saved, sanctified, and set apart." But you look at their lives and you think, really? Is that person saved? Is that person sanctified? Sure doesn't show up very much, does it? Well, let's be careful. God's purpose in saving us is not to give us a free ticket to heaven and get us out of hell. That's not the primary purpose at all. God's ultimate purpose is that we should reach the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. How close are we? There are crises in faith in your teenager's life. This is the crucial place where your own faith in God's ability to grip your child in his own strong hands will be tested to the limit. You cannot follow him. You cannot protect him. You cannot steer him. He has got to learn to walk alone. Perhaps he will go into a far country. You know the story of the prodigal. When the time came when he was legally entitled to receive his inheritance, he went to his father and demanded his share. Can you imagine the agonies that that father went through? But the father knew that the son had a legal right to the money. I'm sure that father knew the nature of his son was such that he would be going into a far country and wasting his substance in riotous living. That's exactly what he did. And the father let him go. The father gave him the money and had to let him go. There comes that agonizing point. But even before the child has actually physically absented himself from the house, we begin to realize that we cannot steer them, that we cannot protect them. You send them off to school and you know that you're sending them into a lion's den. But we never need to let go of them in prayer. Hold him to Christ. Travail in prayer. Don't panic when he asks questions which convince you that he has dumped the faith. Probably he has not dumped the faith. He's trying it out. And this is absolutely necessary. You've shown him yours. He's got to make it his own by experience. Without the experience of God, there is no knowledge of God. Without faith, there is no experience. There can be no experience of God without faith in God. And so it is in the child's own experience that he has to discover the truth of the faith that you have demonstrated to him. Remember that the revelation of who Jesus is always a divine gift. When Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God," Jesus said to him, "You didn't learn this from human beings." The revelation of who God is a divine gift that only God can give your children. It is the encounter with the Word, with a capital W, the living Word. You must learn to trust your child to God. Your child must learn to trust God, to submit to the will of God, to bind himself to him. You can't do that for him. To accept what God tells him. And then the seed begins to sprout. In simple obedience, the content of faith begins to flower. If you see the smallest inkling, the smallest hint that your child is trying to obey God, submitting to the will of his parents is one way in which he obeys God. You can thank God that the content of his faith is beginning to flower. Hang on to God for him. And let me read you in closing Paul's prayer for the Philippian Christians. He says, "I thank my God for you Christians at Philippi whenever I think of you. My constant prayers for you are a real joy, for they bring back to my mind how we have worked together for the gospel from the earliest days until now. I feel sure that the one who has begun his good work in you will go on developing it until the day of Jesus Christ." The one who has begun his good work in your teenager will go on developing it until the day of Jesus Christ.
As Elizabeth has said, anything if offered to God can and will become your gateway to joy. Elizabeth Elliott has been sharing timeless truth with ladies for many years, drawing insight from her Bible study and her experiences as a wife, mother, and missionary. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network, Charlotte, North Carolina.